Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
We thank God for life, and we thank God for his hand over our lives. And I just want to say this, that we shouldn't be serving God in carnality. You have to serve God and serving him in spirit. That's what the Lord wants. He said God is a spirit, and they that worship him, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is a fact. What does it mean? It means that you cannot be serving this God and your life is always the same. Things are not, you are going through struggles over and over. Things are not working, and you keep coming to church. You keep going, and things are not going. So when serving God that way, it is difficult. It breaks your heart, is because it's like your God is not with you, or God is not answering your prayers. And people are even thinking that this whole church thing is not true. This whole God stuff is not working for me. But that is not the truth. The reality is that God is there. The reality is that Almighty God is still in business answering prayers, healing his people, doing signs and wonders in the midst of his people. But it's like a wave. The wind is blowing, and the direction is given by God. Whomsoever catches it, it will be your portion. That's the way I see it. And this is exactly what is going on. You flow with it, you will have your portion. From the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent, they take it by force. The violent take it by force. Worshipping God today, you have to be violent to be able to worship God. Otherwise, you will be just flowing in carnality. Why is it that you are serving this God and all these things keep on happening to you? Why is it that you are serving this God and you keep on going from struggles to struggle, from struggle to struggle, as if God is not there? It is not true. We go through trials, the Lord is with us. We go through the waters, he is with us. We go through fire, he is with us. But it is not like the fire is going to burn you, or the water is going to overshadow your life, that for all these years you are not coming out. Something, what type of God is that? What type of father is that? But Almighty God, as we know him as the Father, he's not like that. Something definitely has gone wrong somewhere. And sometimes we just have to be sincere to ourselves and come back. This morning, as Brother Johnson was saying, it was very interesting because we had a lot of Sunday school teachings, and it was on Genesis 1:26. When the Lord God said that, let's create man in our own image and in our likeness. So God created man in the sense of male and female. In the image of God, created he them. So we were asking ourselves, what is that image that God was talking about? And we were saying that man has lost so much from the garden, from the fall. And we want to make sure that we come back on all this. Everyone is very welcome. Today we have a message of the Lord for you. And we title this message, Believe and Follow Jesus. Believe and Follow Jesus. The book of John chapter 1 and the verse is 1. The word says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. This word that we are talking about here is Jesus Christ. And John 1:14 says that, and the word, the same word, was made flesh and dwell among us, tabernacle among people on earth here. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is still talking about Jesus Christ. It is still talking about Jesus Christ. And 1:18 says, John 1:18, he said, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, Jesus, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared the Father. He had declared the Father. And we continue reading. And in John 14 and the verses 8 to 9, there is a statement that Philip said unto Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus, show us the Father. Why is it that Philip asks such a question? It is because the Son Jesus had constantly been talking about the Father. My Father, my Father, my Father. So Philip asked Jesus, he said, Jesus, show us the Father. And this is Jesus' answer to Philip. Jesus Christ said, verse 9, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. Jesus Christ that we are talking about here, Jesus came and dwell among us in this earth. So it is not like we are following someone that is some kind of mystic figure that is out there that we don't know what to do. Jesus came forth so that the image of God that we lost in the garden over there, for us to recover. That is the reason why Jesus Christ came. The fall of man in that garden, it wasn't something that was small. It was big deal. Man lost everything. Because God commissioned to man everything. And man lost it all in the detriment of Satan. But Jesus Christ came so that man will regain it. And regain it, all of them. All of them. Not certain things, but the fullness of all in all was in Christ. And he impacted that in us. So you cannot be going to church and trusting God for your finances, but you can't trust God for your health. It does not make sense. He is not God of the mountains alone. He is not God of the sea alone. He is God of fullness, all in all God. This is the God that we are talking about here. So following Jesus Christ, we can indeed follow Jesus. Jesus was not a spirit. Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God. But he was fully man And because he was filled with the Spirit of God, fully God. It means all. So Jesus Christ came and dwelt among us so that we will know how the Father is. Because he said he came, Jesus came to declare the Father. He came to declare the Father. But the Word himself, Jesus himself, came here to dwell among us so that we will know him. We will see him. They testify that they have known him. They heard him. They walked with him. They were in the same place. They sleep, you know, in the same area, waking up together. They ate together. They heard him preaching. They also saw him after his resurrection. It was the same Jesus Christ. He still even ate with them after resurrection. So the disciples, by the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, when they are testifying of Jesus Christ, they know exactly what they are talking about. So we as children of God, we being the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are not following a mystic figure. We are following a reality. Reality. Because that truth, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. That truth is reality. That truth is reality. We are following a man that came here and lived among us, who had the ability to declare the Father, revealed who the Father is to everyone and each one of us. It is only at the coming of Jesus Christ that we find out that Almighty God, the Father, is not a policeman as people thought he was a policeman. God is not a policeman. Almighty God is our Father. And he told the disciples, when you pray, say, our Father. Our Father. Not someone that is standing there with his baton to, you know, hit on people every time that they have committed sin. Absolutely not. Jesus came and dwell among us. Jesus came dwelling among us full of grace and truth. Jesus came dwelling among us full of the glory of the only begotten Son. And Jesus came to reveal what we have lost in the garden and brought it back to everyone that will come into him. The fullness of life is in Christ. We can follow Jesus because he came here. We can also follow Jesus' life at home because he lived here. Jesus Christ was not married, but Jesus had parents. Beside his heavenly Father, he had Joseph as the earthly father and Mary as the earthly mother. He had four brothers and at least two sisters, making eight people in that house. Jesus lived there. Jesus Christ's ministry did not start until Jesus Christ was 30 years old. So the man lived ordinary life like as anyone else. We can follow Jesus in our homes. The book of Mark chapter 6 and the verses 3. People saw Jesus when his ministry started, and they recognized him in Nazareth. They said, is not this the carpenter? So Jesus Christ worked. Hallelujah. Jesus was a carpenter. The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and of Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? They recognize that it was the same Jesus In whom the spirit of grace is at work. In whom the truth has been tabernacle and working, and they could not recognize him anymore. So they said, is not this the carpenter? Is not this the same Jesus that we saw him growing up? It's not this Jesus that was working that hard trying to take care of his family. Jesus, we can follow him. Jesus, he is an example of life, not a mystic example of life, but a reality of life that a man and a woman can follow to live a life unto the glory of the Father. In the name of Jesus. We are not following a God that we don't know. Our God, he speaks. Our God brought forth the Son to reveal what his image looked like. What he gave to man that man lost in the garden. To recover man, God recover man, you know, from the fall by the fullness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he didn't do it halfway. In John 7 and the verses 5, the word tells us that for neither did his Jesus Christ, his own brethren, believe him. When Christ's ministry started at the age of 30, his own brethren did not even believe in him. They didn't believe in him. So, this is to tell you that Jesus was an ordinary man. Jesus Christ was an ordinary young man. At the age of 12, Jesus was full of the Spirit of God. And he walked in such a great humility. Because Jesus Christ would go to the temple where those scholars were. Those Pharisees, and Jesus Christ was teaching to the extent that they could not even understand, but Jesus Christ did not go out there and start preaching to nobody. He waited on the plan of Almighty God. He waited at the appointed time of the Father. He humbled himself before the parents. When Mary was sending Jesus Christ in Aaron, Jesus was coming, you know, with whatsoever that the mother asked him in fullness of that duty. Not halfway. Children can follow Jesus' example. Youth can follow Jesus as the example. Grown-ups can follow Jesus as the example. Because he lived an example life unto the fullness. Not faking fullness of life unto the glory of the Father. Doing things according to the direction of the Spirit of God. The proof is that his own brothers did not even believe in him. They couldn't, the same way that the people of Nazareth are wondering, it's not this the carpenter, the same carpenter that we saw him. We bought chairs from him. We bought tables from him. It's the same carpenter that is doing these signs and wonders. The brothers could not believe in him because they saw him as someone that was so submissive, someone that was running in errands, someone that was so obedient. This Jesus, is it the same person that is doing these things? He is the same. We can follow Jesus in our homes. We can also follow Jesus Christ in his heavenly minded. In Matthew chapter 16 and the verse is 24 to 26. He was a man here. But at the same time, he was living his life with such a wonderful vision. Where there is no vision, people perish. So God gave this man a vision. He was a purpose-driven man. But he did not lose focus of the reason why he was here. We can follow Jesus Christ in his heavenly mind. Matthew 16:24. He said, then Jesus Christ said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Denying yourself and taking up your cross and following Jesus Christ, what does it mean? You will come after Jesus. You have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your cross every single day. Then you follow Jesus. Because we said believe in Jesus and then follow him. You cannot follow a man that you don't believe. Believe in him and then follow him. What is it that you are believing in Christ and why are you following him? And by the way, what does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? But he said that if any man will come, will follow me, then that person should pick up his cross and follow him. If you want to see yourself as somebody at all cost, in all situations, you want to have your way at all cost and in all situations, you cannot follow Jesus Christ. He was a man of humility. He humbled himself. He obeyed his parents. He obeyed the Father. He moved according to the leadings of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be fulfilled in life, you're going to have to let the self go. Jesus Christ was not a man of pride. He was a man full of Holy Ghost. He was a man on assignment. He was a man of purpose. He was a man that was every single day fulfilling the plans and the purpose of the Father. Jesus Christ did not care about people spitting at his face because he was purpose-driven person. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was here to do. You see, there are so much distractions in life that bring people to the level that they lose focus. But Christ was not like that. Christ fulfilled his mandate over here. And following Jesus Christ, picking up the cross every single day, humility has to come in. You have to be dying every single day. Dying to the gossiping. Dying to the despisement. Dying to the pride. Dying to lies. Dying to sin. Dying and dying and dying every single day so that you will be able to follow Jesus. Picking up the cross and following Jesus is not easy. The little thing that your husband or your wife said to you had become a problem in that house. And you cannot calm down because you see yourself as the man in the house. How can I be the head of this house and you telling me this? Am I not in charge? Nobody said that you are not in charge, but we are talking about the fulfillment of God's purpose. Being the head, meaning you are giving direction. Being the head means foundation. You are the one that the pillars are standing on. So your relationship with God is absolutely equal. Because until you are filled and God being the one building that house, a man cannot build it. We can follow Jesus by picking up our cross every single day. Matthew 16:25. Jesus said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Hallelujah. For what is a man profited If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That is how much precious the soul is. A man is three in one. A man is three in one. A man is first and foremost a spirit being. He has a soul and he lives in a body. The spirit is the breath of God that we read in Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God took the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed his breath of life into man's nostril. And man became the living soul. The soul is the one that is going to stand before Almighty God in judgment. The soul comprises the will and the emotions. The soul will recognize every single thing that a man has done over here on earth. When you see your wife in heaven, you will recognize that I have lived with this woman on earth and that was my wife. But there is no marriage in heaven. Because the soul contains that information. The spirit of God, when a man dies, the spirit goes back to Almighty God. But the soul remains as a man for the judgment day and for the purpose, the heavenly purpose of God for that man. What profited a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? We can follow Jesus Christ with this heavenly mind. Jesus was not trying to gain the whole world. But Jesus came and told us that the soul that the Father gave us is important. That the soul of a man should not be lost over here. A man's soul should not be in captivity. A man's soul should keep the integrity of the image of God. A man's soul should be returned back to the Father. This is what Jesus Christ is talking about here. Jesus Christ did not live a life full of loving of money and trying to gain the whole world as many are chasing today and losing in exchange their souls. We can follow Jesus picking up the cross, following him with the heavenly purpose in our lives. Why is all this contentions? Where is it coming from? Why can't we come down and be focused on what the Lord God has called you to do? Why is it that when you are going through situations, you feel like the whole world has come to an end? God has a purpose for your life. As far as you are alive, Almighty God has a wonderful purpose and a plan for your life. And you have to live for that purpose. Jesus was a single-minded person. Jesus had understanding of what life was all about. Jesus Christ had understanding that every single thing that people are craving for are going to perish except what the Lord God holds, that word. The soul of a man is important. We can follow Jesus Christ in his rejection of loving money. Matthew 19 and the verses 16 to 22. There was a man that saw Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ was a very famous man. Because Jesus carries the Spirit of God in full measure. He was filled with the Holy Ghost in full measure. So the man carries power around. Where Jesus is, every time that Jesus comes to a town, that town is shut down. Because everyone will run to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, whatsoever problem that people will bring before him, Jesus will stand and heal all their problems. So Jesus Christ, because of the power of the Spirit of God at work in him, he was very famous. There have not been any man on the surface of this earth with that fame like Jesus. Where Jesus is, there is freedom. Where Jesus is, there is liberty. Where Jesus is, there is breakthrough. Where Jesus is, there is deliverance. And people knew this. And where Jesus is, people would chase him for their salvation. A man knew that Jesus was famous, that he needed something from Jesus. So he ran to Jesus Christ. In Matthew 19:16, he said, "Behold, one young man came to Jesus and said unto Jesus, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he had a question. I want to have eternal life. This life that you have been talking about, I want to have this life. The man came with his problem. And Jesus Christ said unto him, "If thou will enter into life," so eternal life is something that you have to what? Enter. "If thou," which means that this man, first of all, he recognized that he did not have it. So he came, he knew Jesus had it. And he came to Jesus, "How do I have it?" And Jesus said, "There is a condition. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And the man said, "You know what? What commandment are you talking about? These commandments, which one of them?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man, he said unto Jesus Christ, "Jesus, you know what? All these things, I have kept them from my youth up. What lack I yet? I have kept all these things, all these commandments, I have kept them." So apparently, this young man was such a good Christian. Was such a wonderful man. He had kept all the commandments of God. And he's asking for how he can obtain eternal life. But Jesus knew that what he said was not a lie. So Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect," because I know that you have kept the commandments. Now, entering into life, it's associated with perfection. It's associated with perfection. "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." So, to enter into eternal life, you have to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way to eternal life. After obeying the commandments of God in Christ Jesus, you have to be able to follow Jesus, and he will lead you into that eternal life. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Hallelujah. He had great possession. So he could not let his possession go. Choosing between the possession and Jesus, choosing between the possession and eternal life, he said, "You know what? I prefer going with the possession rather than following Jesus or eternal life." And we have so many today. When we say it like that, it's very shocking, but that is the reality. People have chosen their work over eternal life. People have chosen over the work, their children, their marriages, their garden, money, over eternal life. They prefer knowing money than knowing God. That is eternal life. Knowing the Son and the Father. That is eternal life. They prefer knowing the worldly things than following Jesus Christ. He was very grieved because he cannot let go. But you know what? Jesus made a statement. What profited a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Profit him nothing, for he has nothing. This eternal life that we're talking about in John 17, 3, he said, this is life eternal, which is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. So to have eternal life is to know God the Father and God the Son. Hallelujah. Eternal life is not living forever. Eternal life is knowing God the Father and God the Son. Indeed, when you know them, you have life eternal. So we can follow Jesus Christ in money matters. In money matters. Do you think that Jesus Christ was not, the man was working as a carpenter? Working as a carpenter, he wasn't making chairs for his house. He was making these chairs, selling them, and feeding the household. Joseph, the father, died. So at least, if not anything, and even by the time that Joseph was alive, Jesus being the carpenter, he worked, brought the money home for the caring of the household. He knew what money was, but he was not money conscious, money minded, material minded, earthly in all things minded, to the extent that he will not fulfill God's plan for his life. Who told you that the Lord God cannot bless you? It's not the same Jesus. In Luke 11, when the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, after you have glorified the Almighty God. One of the areas is that God should provide our needs. If you are renting a house, you need to pay for the rent. If you want to put food on the table, you need to pay for the food. Your children are going to school, you need to pay for the school. So God knows that you have a need of money among other things. But that could not be the reason of your living. Because it is part of the needs, and the Lord God had already in plan, in his purpose for your life, that your needs shall be provided. We can follow Jesus in money matters. The problem that we have here is that when a man's life has come to the point of living just for material things, just for money, and losing the purpose of God for that man's life, we have a problem. Jesus didn't do that. And we can follow our Lord Jesus Christ in money matters. There are only two issues in this world. Money and God. Money and God. And money had become the problem of salvation. Because people like this young man, even when we are in the church, when it comes to salvation, for this man's soul to be saved, he said, I prefer following my possession rather than obtaining salvation. And many in life today are like this young man. The word of God is meant for wisdom. It profited a man to live and fulfill God's plan for that man's life. We can follow Jesus in his rejection of following the commandments of men. We can follow Jesus Christ in his rejection of following the commandments of men. People are caught into traditional stuff. They are ready to follow people, but they are not ready to follow the commandments of Almighty God. So what the tradition says has more value than what the word of God says. The book of Matthew chapter 8 and the verses 21 and 22. So, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ came and said to Jesus, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said unto him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." This is a man that wants to follow Jesus Christ. But he has attachments. He has attachments in the world. There is no difference between this man who apparently has such a wonderful reason. His father died. And he told Jesus, he said, "Jesus, I want to follow you. But please, let me go bury my father and come back." Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead. Let the dead bury their dead." The living and the dead, there is no relationship. A man serveth no purpose for God when he is dead. It is only the living that serve God's purpose. There is no counsel in the grave, which means that whatsoever that you have to do, as far as there is a scent of water coming on the ground, you have to make sure that you fulfill that mandate. The Lord wakes you up every single morning. Remember, that is life. It means that your assignment is not over. It means that God's purpose still stands in your life. It means that it is not over yet. No matter what, as you are going through trials and tribulations and tough situations and sickness and disease and all that, but the Lord God is keeping you going, you have to know that the grace is still at work in you and the Father is not finished with you. Even though people are saying that you are over, but you are not. You are not. Because he keeps giving you life. He keeps you going. Keeps you going. If it was devil alone, you should have been killed in the womb. But God protected you. God made it possible for you to grow up. God gave you that life. And God made it possible for you to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and be following him. Fulfill that mandate over your life. Do not lose focus over this earth here, because there are so much distraction in life here. But we thank God, there is another life that is parallel to the physical life. And that life is in the sun. And the life in the sun is the true life of any man. Because he said the sun was that light. And the light of the sun gives life to every man that cometh to this world here. Without it, a man dwells in darkness and do not know where he is going, do not know what he is doing. Oh yes, he is married. Oh yes, he has a child. He has children. Oh yes, he has a job. Oh yes, he has built a house. But he is still lost because he has not come to the light. He is not following Jesus. Anything can happen to this man at any time. His life is not protected. When he is coming, he doesn't. You know, when something is coming, he has no ability to see anything. He is not led by any spirit of God. He is led by himself. As the wind blows, so he goes. That is not life. A man, according to the creation of God, should have a purpose. A man, according to the creation of God, should have reason of living. A man, according to the creation of God, should have reason of living and taking the breath of life every single day. And we have to be conscious about it. If you have never been sick and be taken to the hospital, and they are telling you that you need oxygen, you can't breathe, and they sell you the oxygen, by the time that you receive the bill, you will know the cost of the oxygen. God is not selling oxygen to nobody, because God has given it all free for the purpose of God to stand for your life. We cannot be living and taking things for granted. We cannot be living and having material things over the purpose of God for our lives. Fulfilling the mandate of God is the reason why any man is alive here. Follow Jesus Christ so that we may obtain and fulfill the perfect will of Almighty God. Following Jesus so you may have life. Following Jesus so you will not follow man. Let the dead bury their dead. We can follow Jesus where he is and be honored by his Father. Jesus is alive and well. We know that he died and rose again at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is. John chapter 13 and the verses 36 to 38. Simon Peter said to Jesus Christ, he said to Jesus, "Lord, whither goest thou?" So Jesus, where are you going? His mandate was over. He told the disciples, "I am done. It is finished. I am going." And Simon, so much. This is the man who has been with them. In the presence of Jesus Christ, these disciples have gained all. They have confidence. Fear is not there. Their needs were provided. They saw Jesus working miracles. They saw Jesus, many running to him. They were protected by the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, one day, Jesus opened his mouth and said, "I'm going." And they said, Peter said, "Lord, where are you going? You are living this. Where are you going? We have been following you. We left everything. We left our careers. We left much. The things of the world, we left them all. Where are you going, Jesus?" And Jesus answered Peter. He said, "Whither I go, thou cannot follow me now. But there is a hope. Because thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter, you are not coming with me now. But you will come afterwards. Because I am done with my assignment, but you are not. Your task is not done yet. Your accomplishments are not over. Peter, you remain here. So Peter said unto Jesus, "Jesus, why cannot I follow thee now? I want to come with you. You are leaving me alone here. How am I going to cope with life now? When I heard you, when you are with me, my life makes sense. I have a direction of life. I know the reason why I live. Jesus, I want to come with you now." And Peter continued. He said that, "Jesus, you know what? I will lay down my life for thy sake." And Jesus said, "Peter, indeed, I know thou shalt lay down thy life for my sake. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Peter, you want to come with me now? Peter saw himself as someone who was so much attached to Jesus Christ. I will follow you at all cost. Peter, are you sure that you will lay down your life for my sake? Peter said, I will pick up my cross every day. If Peter was alive today, that's what we'll be saying. I will do everything to follow you. And the Lord said, Peter, don't be so fast. Because following me takes sacrifices. Following me requires humility. Following me requires you forsaking the worldly things. Following me requires let go any pride in your life. Following me requires obedience in its total and fullness of the word of God. Following me means shame and reproach. Following me means tribulation and trials. Following Jesus Christ cost a man. But you know what? At the end of it, there is life. It's worth following Jesus. He said, Peter, the cock will not even crow three times. He said, by the third time, you will deny me. It's not easy to follow him. Following Jesus with understanding by the Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Ghost. The leadings of the Holy Spirit is what is going to allow man to stand in time of trials and tribulations. And God knew this. In John 17, this is the prayer that Jesus Christ prayed for the disciples. He prayed that prayer to the Father. He said, Father, my work over here is done. I am coming to you. But these ones that you have given them to me, the disciples, you and I, their assignments are not over. They are still here. But they are here with the evil one. They are here with the fallen angels. They are here with the gossipers. They are here with the liars. They are here with the wicked ones. They are here with the principalities and the powers. They are here with the people that are always accusing them, the accuser of the brethren. These people, they are here in this world, in the midst of the evil. My prayer is that, Lord, you kept them away from the evil one. You keep them away from the evil one. Protect them from the craftiness of the devil. Every child of God have to have understanding that you are in this world that is called the evil world, a place of darkness. You need the light of our Lord Jesus Christ to be able to fulfill that mandate and not losing focus and following Jesus. It will cost you to follow Jesus. But Peter, you know what? Don't worry. Because in John 12, 26, Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It is good to serve God. It is good to follow God. Where Jesus is, that is where we will be. In John 6, 37, he said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's willing to embrace everyone that is wholeheartedly decided to let go the things of the world and follow him. We are all called to follow Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 21. He said, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Jesus Christ, he is the example of life for man. As we follow Christ's steps, all that we lost, the fullness of God for a man, shall be recovered unto the purpose of the living God. In John 17, 23, Jesus said, in his prayer for the disciples, he said, I in them, and you the Father in me, that these disciples may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I have good news for you. Whatever that you are going through, maybe you are going through a time of trial. Maybe things are tough in your finances, in your family, in your marriage, in your health. Whatever that the problem is, God the Father loves you as much as he loved the Son. God the Father loves you as much as he loved the Son. And help the Son to live here and fulfill all the mandates that he commissioned unto you. It is my prayer this afternoon for you that may the Lord God bless you. May the Lord bless your household. May the Lord bless his purpose for your life. May the Lord bless your destiny. Every single thing that God has called you to do, may you live unto fulfillment. Every plan of darkness against your life, I cancel it in the mighty name of Jesus. Anyone that says that you will not make it, they will come for your celebration in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone that have digged any grave to bury you, you will go to their funeral in the name of Jesus. May the purpose and the plans of God stand for your life unto the glory of the living God. May the Lord God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless you.